So I'm speaking this morning on it, living a life of thanksgiving. So if you've got your Bible, why don't you have a turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. I know about you, there's a lot of things we can complain about, isn't there? There's a lot of things in our world we can complain about. Complain about the fact that they just burst the bubble. How many people were planning on going overseas in the next few weeks? Suddenly got cancelled, and the people that were coming to visit us, they can't come and visit us. Oh. You can complain about the government. You could complain about the government. Yeah. But I don't know about you. I reckon we should be extremely grateful and thankful. We should be extremely grateful and thankful for God's goodness and faithfulness. Even in church, I'm so thankful for all the people that serve. I mean, that's why we're doing this volunteers party. The volunteers party is to thank all our amazing volunteers for all that they do. And thank you. Thank you. I'm very thankful. Look, I'm thankful for all the support. I'm thankful for my parents. I probably wasn't when I was growing up. I wasn't probably as thankful. You sort of get to think, man, they should do this and they should do that. But I'm thankful for it. Look, I'm thankful for, in Tauranga, we're thankful for the building. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a church in Ōriwa, and they're in the middle of a building program. And if you were with us when we were in Tauranga, we were in a building program for a long time. And it gets hard, gets tough. Now, we're all excited because we want to one day be doing a building program here. That'd be exciting. But at the same time, I'm just thankful. Thankful for God. Thankful for the church. Thankful for people. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful. There's no room. Do you think Christians should be grumpy? Do you think Christians should be grumpy? There's a lot of grumpy Christians, so what's happening? Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all, and I think I've emphasized it, haven't I? All circumstances. So it's about being thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. You know, lots of people say to me, I want to know God's will for my life. Okay, so here's one thing. This is God's will for your life, to always be thankful, always be grateful for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I believe thankfulness is a decision. I believe it actually is a habit. It becomes a habit of our lives if we decide to make it. Thanksgiving should flow, not for all things, but in all circumstances. It should be something that flows from us, a thankfulness, a gratefulness to the goodness of God. Recently, I was up in hospital seeing a guy named Andy Bartram who was in ICU. And Andy and Charlotte, he's just had a heart attack. But they're going through all these things going, oh, man, it was amazing. So here he is in ICU. He can hardly be, every now and again he'd open his eyes and add into the conversation. But he's going, oh, fortunately there was a nurse when I collapsed. He was out playing touch rugby on a Sunday. He'd been in church on the Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, he's out playing touch rugby and collapses. And he goes, oh, just as well, there was a nurse walking past. There was another doctor or somebody there at the side, and they did CPR. And look, just as well, it wasn't at my home, because they live out in the country and Charlotte was going to be away. He says, just as well, it didn't happen. Their view was, yeah, we're in dire straits, but thank you, God, that you put these people in place. In fact, this week, I think he had a triple bypass operation. But you know how I go, what's your default? When everything's going wrong, are you a default thankful person or are you a default complainer? Our view, this guy here wrote this, John Henry Jollett. Gratitude is a vaccine, an antitoxin, an antiseptic. That's what thankfulness and gratefulness is. And, you know, sometimes when we're young, it's not always when we're young, but when you're young, you forget to be grateful and thankful for all the things. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Have you ever done that? Wrap the present, and then you found it about a year later going, oh, I forgot to give that. Gratitude's like that if it's not expressed. And a lot of times we're not good at expressing it. We're not good at saying thankful, thank you, and we need to be thankful. So here's, let me just read through some of the benefits of living a life of thanksgiving. Number one, thankfulness gives you a better perspective of life. It actually even affects the direction of your life. Thankfulness and gratefulness affects your direction where you're going. When we're faced with a difficult situation, you have two choices. Default choice is to complain. And I don't know about you, I think at times Kiwis are pretty good complainers. But the alternative is to be someone who's grateful. You see, when we complain, we just lose perspective. And Israel in the wilderness is a great, great sort of example of this. They've got a difficult situation. They've got no water. Here they are, they've come right out of Egypt. They've come out of being in bondage. And here they are standing there, and now they're going, not, they've got no water, and they start to complain. Let me just read you. Exodus 15, verse 24. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink, they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water and made the water good to drink. Their perspective is, why have you brought us here to die? And the result of their complaining was it actually sent them in a spiral downwards. Just because they complained. Because you read later in Numbers 14, verse 26, it said, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I've heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. You will all drop dead in the wilderness. It's kind of a hard thing. It sounds quite funny, actually, in some ways. You will all drop dead in the wilderness. How many? We used to have that saying, drop dead, didn't we? We don't have that anymore. We shouldn't have, anyway. Because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You know, for a long time, and it wasn't until I started doing this study, I always thought the children of Israel didn't get into the promised land because of lack of faith. Now, they got delayed for lack of faith, but they actually didn't get to go into the promised land, and they all died in the wilderness. So there's two distinct bits. There was, hey, you're going to have to wait 40 years, which was pretty bad, and that because they had unbelief. But if they hadn't complained, they would have waited 40 years and then been 40 years older and gone in and taken the land. But instead, because they complained, they died in the wilderness. All the things they complained about happened to them. It's scary. The short-term results versus the long-term outcome. You know, we've got to have the right perspective. We have got far more things to be thankful for than sometimes we realize. And we only have to put on the news and realize that where we are living, based on the rest of the world, is completely different. We've got to have a right perspective. Let me read you this. A young lady once wrote home from college, "Dear Mum, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory. Don't worry, I was one of the lucky ones. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He has been so nice. You and Dad will really like him. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that I was pregnant with his child? Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope that things are fine at home. I'm doing really fine and will write more when I get a chance. Love, your daughter Susie. P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and I flunked my chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. Clever. Isn't that true, though? You know, in a sense, things are better than we think. Things are good. We need to be thankful in all circumstances. That should be one of the things that is a hallmark of our Christianity, as of our lives. That, hey, man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful no matter what happens. And in effect, we've got to change our habit. You need a new habit. You need to try a week of no complaining. How many people are keen to try a week of no complaining? Do I really want to commit to it? Oh, fantastic. Two hands up. Come on, who's with me? We'll try a week of no complaining. So last week, one of our neighbors comes to our church, and we went and have coffee with them on a Wednesday, and they said to us, we listened to your message and we really got convicted, and so we've actually created a complaining box, and our daughter is going to get all the money in the complaining box, and if either of the parents complain, they have to put something into the money box, like a swear box, really, basically. And the girl was so excited. She says, "It's great. I'm making lots of money." And I thought, man, that's a good. How many parents think that's a good? Well, maybe it's not parents. How many you think that's a great idea? Too scared to put up your hand. So try a week. Choose an alternative and be grateful. Complaining affects your perspective. It actually gives you a victim mentality. The outcome of thankfulness is it helps bring peace into our lives. Philippians 4:6, which a lot of us really know quite well, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. There is a connection between gratefulness and having a life of peace. Therefore, to me, there is a connection between being ungrateful and being a person that's complaining and actually not being at peace. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, you can have a peach as well, peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So there's three things in there. Don't worry. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, which I think we do those first two really well. But the last one is thank him for all he has done. Thank him for all he has done. Then the result will be that peace, and that peace will guard your heart and mind. And I reckon it's probably one of the main things is why people are at times so full of turmoil, because we lose our gratefulness, we lose our perspective. I was saying last week, you know, I got the privilege of going to India, I think it was about 5 years ago. And I remember, so we support a whole lot of guys over there, and I'm chatting to them and they're telling me, hey, look, in our region here, we have 90% unemployment. And he says, to have a job is just, you are overwhelmed and grateful because you get a job. In fact, parents will mortgage their houses and put on 10 years worth of loans and money just to get their kids a job, because they end up having to try and bribe to get these jobs. And when I told them, oh, look, in New Zealand, you know, you don't have a job, the government will give you, some money. And we worked out how much it was. They could not fathom it. They just went, that's unbelievable. What? And I go, I guess we get into this zone where we become so, we lose perspective. You know, I always say to people, look, you born in New Zealand, live in New Zealand, you won the lottery. And the lottery of the world, of the 7 billion people in the world, you got a head start. Just because you got to live here. But we've got to be grateful for it. Thankfulness helps get everything into perspective. Here's some of the benefits. Gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions. ranging from envy, resentment, to frustration and regret. A leading guy did a study, he was a leading gratitude researcher. That'd be a great job. Has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. So gratefulness has an effect on helping you. Scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. Positive Psychology co-founder Martin, and he's got a really hard name that I'm just going to miss, from the University of Pennsylvania, and his colleagues also discovered that when people took a few minutes each evening to write down three good things that happened to them during the day, their happiness increased and their depressive symptoms decreased. I didn't get to talk to her, but I saw this, Coral Bond. She goes to Life, she's one of the pastors in Life up in Auckland, the church up there. And she went on a thing of doing, writing something to be thankful for every day. And she wasn't allowed to repeat anything. And she said at first, she thought, man, this is hard. But by the end, she said, there is just so much to grateful. It just kept rolling and rolling. And she said, it just did me a world of good to even go back and go through all these things that I wrote about to be grateful and thankful for. And if you're struggling on something, why don't you take the moment and say, let's get this in perspective. Let's write down. I remember when Eleanor and I, basically, did a business that went bad, and we lost our house, and we got to move into a rental. And I remember thinking, man, we lost our house that we just built. It was, we've lost everything. We've got nothing now, and we're renting a house. And I remember God, just in the moments of time, going, okay, God, I need to be thankful. And I suddenly realized, well, what's changed? I've still got my wife. She still loves me. It's always good. Still have all my kids. They're all healthy. We've got our furniture in our house. We can carry on. We're not starving. The only thing that changed is we lost our house. And when I put it in that perspective, I went, nothing's really changed in one sense. And I think this view of being someone who looks at your life and goes, man, I'm grateful and thankful, it actually makes you even appreciate more the people in your life. Are you thankful for your spouse? Are you thankful for your kids? Are you thankful for your workmates? Are you someone that's forever thanking? I'm amazed how many people, over the years I've been involved in businesses and that when pay rises are done to people, that they don't come back and say thank you. I am amazed how many. In all my time, it's only about 5% of people that come back and say thank you. All the rest go, oh, I should have had it anyway. Well, if you're not grateful for it, that's what comes across. Are you someone that's grateful, that's always thanking people for the things they do? And look, a few other proven benefits. Healthier ticker. According to a recent study, improved heart rate variability while writing entries in gratitude journal is considered a measure of reduced cardiac arrest. There we go. Better sleep. Exercising some gratitude was found in a 2011 study of a college students to help them quiet their minds and sleep better. Make more friends. Here's a good one. People who thank others are often thought to have warmer personalities, according to a 2014 study published in the Journal of Emotions. And you think about it. If you know there's somebody that complains all the time, you sort of decide after a while to avoid them, don't you? You want to be around people that are positive and grateful and thankful. Increased optimism. Being gracious can contribute to a healthier outlook, according to a 2003 study. So God knew this. When you thank God for things in your life, your perspective is improved, and the result is your perspective towards God is far more positive, and you therefore increase your faith. It's like being thankful and grateful feeds your faith, while complaining and moaning saps your faith. Here's another illustration that will help you get a different perspective. In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom relates an incident which she taught sorry, relates an incident which taught her about being thankful. She and her sister Betsy had just been transferred to the worst German prison camp they had ever seen yet, Ravensbrück, I think it's called. Upon entering the barracks, they found them extremely overcrowded and flea-infested. One morning, their Bible reading was 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corrie at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted. She finally succumbed. During the months spent at that camp, they were surprised to find how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings without the guards interfering. It was several months later when they learned that the guards would not enter those barracks because of the fleas. Isn't that fascinating? The thing that they thought was negative and made their life uncomfortable was actually allowing them to have, so the soldiers didn't come and harass them. You know, we've got to be grateful. There's so many benefits for being thankful. Here's the second benefit that I got down here. Thankfulness makes you more lovable. Everybody wants to be more lovable, don't they? No? Yes, we all want to be more lovable. Thankfulness makes you love more, but it also makes you lovable. When I'm grateful, it's hard for me to love and be loved. The ability to love and loved would be more difficult, if not impossible, without gratitude. You know, you think about, look, this will be hard to believe, but imagine if I started moaning to Eleanor or moaned about Eleanor all the time. Said, oh, I don't like your meals. They're not very nice. I think you should spend more time doing better meals for me. If I moaned about her washing and moaned about that the house wasn't clean enough and that she didn't pick up my clothes after I left them on the floor, if I moaned and groaned, after a while, she's going to have a hard time loving me, isn't she? Yeah. Like if all I ever do is moan and complain about how much she talks or something like that, which I'd never do. You see, straight away you go, yeah, that makes sense. If the person next to you is complaining about you all the time, after a while it makes very hard to love. But if that person is over grateful to you, writes you little thank you, thanks for what you do, basically thanks and is grateful, then suddenly you are more lovable. It's easier to love someone who's grateful. You know, we all know the people that we've done loads of things for and they don't say thank you. In fact, they go, oh, you should have done more. Recently, the church took the cafe, part of the church, went and gave a whole lot of morning teas to one of the schools, just to their staff, just to say, hey, you know, we think you're doing a great job. But one of the ladies complained, oh, you didn't do anything that was gluten-free and that's not very good and all that. And the poor person that had given it would have went, look, we've just given this, but you're still, and you're not even grateful. Your gratefulness is not even for other people. It's all centered around yourself. Because complaining shows how selfish we are. Complaining is a reflection of how much we view ourselves. Whereas thankfulness is how much we view everybody else. Thankfulness will make a negative situation positive. In the story of the woman thanking Jesus, and this always gets in my head, you know, when you think about how grateful you are to God, a lot of it is dependent on your perspective of yourself. And in Luke 7:36 to 50, there's a story of the woman thanking, and in verse 47 it says, I tell you her sins. So if you don't know the context, you can go away and read it. But this lady's come and basically is thanking God. And you know, the Pharisees are saying, you know, why is she doing this? Why is she doing all these things? And he's saying, look, her thankfulness is because she realizes how much of her sin. She realizes, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And I think sometimes we become, even at times with God, we think, oh, well, I'm a good Christian now. And we lose the fact of the matter that by ourselves, we cannot save ourselves. It's only by the grace of God. Our sin and our sin is our sin. Our sin is bad. And it's forgiven. And our heart should be one of gratefulness and thanksgiving to God for that in our life. What I'm trying to say is that if you increase your thankfulness to God, you will increase your love for God. If all you do is complain to God, then you'll find it hard to love God. Thankfulness is worship, and we're going to have worship in a moment. In fact, musicians, you can come now. Thankfulness is about worship. You know, David had this amazing mix of being a person that was able to state the truth, in a sense, a bit moany, but at other times was so grateful and thankful. And Psalm 136, and if you're struggling being grateful, go study Psalm 136. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to God of gods. Give thanks, and it goes on. It just keeps saying, give thanks. And you know, look, our worship and our response and the way we worship is an indication of our thankfulness. You know, we've put worship now because I want you to worship with thanksgiving and enthusiasm. If the way you worship is a reflection of your gratefulness, what does it say about the way you worship? If people were to look at you, or if God was looking at you, does your worship look like you're thankful and grateful? Does your praise, the way you sing, the way you engage, does it show that you're grateful and thankful? Or does it show that you're, I think it's a challenge. There's a connection between our gratefulness and our praise and worship. You give it everything you've got, sing. You know, we try and do the music slightly louder. Why did you do that? So that you can sing and not feel, it doesn't matter if I sing out of tune. Who cares? We want people to sing, give everything they've got. You know, there's a story, and I haven't got time to talk about it, in Luke 17, where Jesus heals 10 lepers. Only one comes back. One of them, when he saw what he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting and praising God. I'm healed. He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he has done. You know, as we're going to enter into worship in a moment, you know, I want you to do it with a grateful and thankful heart to your God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your presence in this place. First of all, Lord, we say, I'm sorry for the times when I've been ungrateful, and I repent of those. I'm sorry for the times I've complained, and I repent of those. And Lord, this morning I want to be someone who worships you and loves you and thanks you for the good things you've done in our lives.